Call this meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. This is Wednesday, September 12th. It's 9:30 a.m. And we are in the Board of Commissioners meeting room, room 108 in the courthouse. First item on our agenda is establish quorum. We have all three commissioners present. Next is adoption of the consent calendar. These are items of a routine nature or items that have come before the commissioners before. I'll entertain a motion for approval, or staff or commissioners may highlight an item if they wish.
Make a motion to adopt the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a public hearing. This is a petition to vacate Bryant Creek Road, County Road 551. I believe the presenters will be Director Kenyon and Council Belmont. This is a public hearing. I open the public hearing. First, we'll hear comments from staff. Director Kenyon.
Good morning. Roy Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director. This is a continuation of the public hearing for the petition to vacate a portion of Bryant Creek Road. And just real quick, for refreshers, this is an aerial view of the Eddyville area. This is Eddyville School, Post Office. This is the area where it's owned by Alcee Veneer. And we're talking about this section of Bryant Creek right-of-way that lies between the Yaquina River and the railroad right-of-way. And the basis for the petition was basically the lot that is being developed is restricted by not only setbacks off of the railroad right-of-way, setbacks off of what it is, the existing county road right-of-way, and also setbacks off of the river because of floodplain issues. And so it basically really minimizes the usability of the lot. We have signature sheets from two of the abutting owners, the Raritans and the Navarros, who own basically both sides. We have letters from the railroad saying that they are not opposed to this request. We have a letter from Paul Smud, who is the owner of Alcee Veneer, the property on the opposite side of the river, who says that he is not opposed to this request. There is no easement across the railroad to actually access onto Crystal Creek Loop. The river itself does not have a bridge. If one was to want to cross the river there, we're looking at $1 million+ to put a bridge. We actually just put in a bridge across Yaquina down river a ways, and it was $1 million+ to get that in place. So we basically have a road segment that's not reachable.
So, question, Commissioner Thompson.
I guess this is one of my fisherman's logic type questions, but if we're going to vacate the end, why don't we vacate it clear back to the other street?
Well,
we've cut off another piece of land there that's exactly the same situation, and the road isn't going anywhere.
True. That is true. The petition requested for this specific piece.
Right. The other person didn't petition.
No.
You can see, though.
Different. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you can see why my question is if we're going to have the same situation probably in the future, there's no purpose for that road when we vacate that.
Maybe I can address a couple of those. And if you look at the map up there, actually there's a number of platted roads in that area. It looks like that Alcee Veneer, their property there, has a number of platted
that
roads.
That's actually,
and this is not an uncommon problem with plats that date back to the 1890s. Actually, previous even to that, when Lincoln County was a part of Benton County, you have these remnant platted areas all over the place, and it would be great if we had a mechanism to go in and try and clean them all up on our own. But oftentimes people utilize the platted areas for purposes of development. They actually can utilize some of the things either for access or for creation of lots in that case. So we end up having to basically do it on the request of the property owner.
Okay.
And then that's where we end up. And so we do have, it's unfortunate, we have a hodgepodge in certain areas of the county of these vacation requests, only because we're dealing with them on a individual basis rather than as a whole.
Okay. I'm satisfied, but it just...
Oh, I totally understand.
There isn't that much of that road left.
No.
No.
So, just to continue that line of questioning, the segment that's not being vacated, is that different landowners adjacent to the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. On the, would be the southwest side of the Yaquina River there. Well, like I said, it's Paul Smud from Alcee Veneer owns majority of that. And then there is some Hancock property, Hancock Timber Management property.
Different property owners,
yes,
adjacent to them.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from commissioners?
Satisfied.
No, I'm satisfied. I think it was pretty well vetted in our previous hearing. I see no negative public impacts, and in fact, a positive public benefit by allowing a new home to be developed. So I'm in favor of moving ahead with this.
Okay. Any public input? All right. Seeing no public input, I'll entertain a motion. Or what's,
close
what's
the hearing,
next?
Go ahead and close the hearing, and then we entertain a motion.
Public hearing is closed.
I'd move that we direct staff to, would it be an order?
You can actually have a draft order in front of you.
Okay.
Since this is a continued hearing, you already had this discussion.
Okay.
We've drafted one if you so desire.
Okay. Then I would move that we adopt the proposed order vacating a portion of Eddyville School Road, a.k.a. Bryant Creek Road, County Road number 551.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries. Thank you, Director Kenyon.
Thank you.
All right, next item we have is a decision item on Resolution 18-12-9A, which is approving the City of Newport's 13th Amendment to the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan. And I know we have representatives from the city here. This was an item that was discussed last week. Commissioner Hall was not present. And any additional comments from the representatives from the city?
Sure. Appreciate you considering this action at the meeting today. We met with the County Commission, I think it was two...
Was it last week or 2 weeks
ago? It was a couple meetings ago.
Recently.
Yeah.
Recently. Yeah.
Recently.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, the City Council held a public hearing on this particular matter, and we had no public comment, and we have not had any comments from any of the other taxing entities in opposition to this change. But just as a reminder, the change... does not change the expiration date of the Urban Renewal District, which is still 2027. Mm-hmm. What it changes is it allows projects to be initiated up through 2025 instead of 2020. And that'll give a little more flexibility on timing to get a number of projects done. As the county is aware, the South Beach Urban Renewal District has been very influential in upgrades that were necessary to Marine Science Drive to accommodate NOAA. The neighborhood improvements for Southwest Abalone, Southwest Brant, those areas there that really kind of dynamically changed that neighborhood. Safe Haven Hill was another piece of the puzzle that's been funded previously by the South Beach Urban Renewal. We've got a couple major projects coming up. One is the signal relocation and improvements to 101 from 32nd to 35th. And that's a real critical one because ODOT had placed certain limits on the ability to expand certain uses in that area unless we reconfigured the traffic flow at that particular area. And the city agreed a number of years ago to a plan that allowed for expansion in South Beach and in the Wilder subdivision and those areas that eliminated that restriction. So. Moving that signal to 35th is one of the key components that was part of that plan that was adopted by ODOT, and that's a project that will be completed yet as part of this effort. And then we've got a few significant projects that will that we hope to complete before the expiration of the district, and that's a 12-inch bay undercrossing, which is an alternate. Or a secondary crossing. Right now we have one link across the bay. If something happens with that pipeline, you know, we're in pretty serious trouble in serving the folks in South Beach. Secondly, is signalization of the 40th and US 101 intersection. That's again the road up to the community college. And it, as traffic continues to increase and as development occurs up at the community college area and Wilder subdivision, those that capacity is going to be necessary. And then one of the plans is to extend a sewer to the airport in Surflyn neighborhoods. We think that's going to be something that's going to be a requirement coming up at some point in the future. And so those are three of the larger projects that would probably be initiated after the current date. The county, as a governmental entity, plays a significant role in the urban renewal districts. In the South Beach Urban Renewal District, from I think 2010 until the close, the amount of county funds that are captured as part of this process is about $8.4 million. So it is a significant investment the county is making in facilitating these projects going forth. The city, as a governmental entity, also is diverting $15.3 million during the same time period to make these projects happen, and the other taxing entities are as well. So the one thing that really works well with the urban renewal districts is the funds that the city is putting in by deferral of revenue to the urban renewal district or the county or the school district or community college, they all kind of collectively leverage more funds to allow a number of major things to happen. So the city council deferred any action on this issue until after this meeting today, and it'll be coming back to the city council at the September 17th meeting for possible action.
Questions related to the water system. Mm-hmm. Probably answered. There was a blowout in the bay. You mentioned it last meeting when you talked. Mm-hmm. And is that a plastic or is that an older metal covered, plastic covered line or some type of plastic they run underneath the bay? I assume a new one will be some type of plastic.
Yeah, the new one is PVC. I think the existing is an iron ductile pipe, I believe. But
okay. Yeah, I don't have any further information on that. Yeah.
So that would explain blowout.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Over time. So if we get it would make sense to have a secondary source if we have a metal one, because eventually they will deteriorate and blow out.
Yeah, and the existing line sits on the bottom of the bay. The redundant or secondary line would be directionally bored underneath. So we'd have that advantage of it being a little bit more secure from damage.
Yeah, an anchor or dredging or any of those activities, we get very nervous when those activities are going on, because you know that it's a pretty line that would be very easy to disrupt. So,
well, I watched a boat go down one time because I think of the line. They hooked their anchor up and couldn't get it free, and they wrapped a stabilizer when the tide changed, and boy, it went over quick. I don't know for sure it was on the line, but he couldn't get his anchor up. He okay. was pinned there, and when the tide changed, it was went sideways. And
yeah, so that's an important project for water stabilization for both the city and South Beach. And as these systems are getting more connected, it facilitates, you know, we're connected to Seal Rock now, so we've got, I think a much more stable water system going forward in the future, particularly after we complete this project.
I would only add to what Spencer said with respect to the projects he listed that have been completed so far since the extension. All told, those projects have leveraged about $6 million in other money other than urban renewal. So those funds are coming from the federal government, state government, and in some cases, private parties. So.
Questions, comments?
Mr. Chair, no question. Just a comment that I will support us signing off on this amendment. I believe the plan is thoughtful, that these are projects that are going to have benefits not only in the South Beach area, but to economic and community development throughout this part of the county. I appreciate the acknowledgement of the loss in tax revenues, not only to county general fund, but to city general fund as well. I mean, I know everybody in this room is aware, but I know people in the public are not always aware that urban renewal represents a conscious decision on the part of the government entities to forego revenues in one pot to help fund other worthwhile things. You know, several years back, I even heard a local elected official refer to urban renewal money as free money. It's not. but it is a policy choice, in this case, I think, a wise one.
I guess I got to make a comment. We don't have really a choice on it.
This one, we do.
This one,
yeah, we do.
Yeah, the law's changed.
Well, and this one specifically because there's the district, when it was established, included unincorporated parts of the county as part of the district to actually configure it. So in that particular case, this is one of the rare circumstances in which it does require our acquiescence.
Okay. I apologize.
This is
I didn't realize there was.
The only thing I would note, Spencer's already addressed this, but and we talked about it when this was before us previously, but if you look at the taxes that the county foregoes, simply for the South Beach project, as I think you indicated, it's about $8.4 million over the life of the district. But there's an additional approximately $12 million that's being foregone with the North Side. Urban renewal. And so altogether, over the life of those two districts, and there is a third urban renewal district in the city, the county alone is foregoing over $20 million in revenue, which is a significant amount when you look at our general fund of about $40 million. So again, I think as Commissioner Hall has already indicated, it's not free money. But I also think we need to lead and recognize that urban renewals are partnerships, and that if we all work together collaboratively, it's for the greater good. I'll also note that the city is showing support for the County Commons project, which is a part of the Northside Urban Renewal Plan, and we appreciate that and look forward to that continued cooperation and participation. So again, it's a very complex situation, some short-term sacrifices for what I believe are some long-term benefits. So I'm comfortable with approval of this amendment, and we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve resolution number 18-12-9IA, approving the City of Newport's 13th Amendment to the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda would be commissioner reports.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
If I could, a couple of things I'd like to mention.
Please.
On Monday at Association of Oregon Counties, the association went on record endorsing the proposal for a Vietnam War memorial on the grounds of the state capitol in Salem. This is a project that I think we had already endorsed. I believe 11 other county commissions had already endorsed it. David Gomberg is on record as a supporter. The VFW posts in Newport and Siletz are also supportive as well. But it's kind of amazing to realize that every other major war or conflict that the United States has been involved in, including one since Vietnam, like the Gulf War, have been memorialized in Salem, but Vietnam is not. So this will be before the legislature next year to actually authorize and help to fund it. They're raising private funds, but they need legislative authorization to put the memorial on the Capitol ground. And I just want to say hear, hear, and I think it's about time, maybe past time. And I received this nice medallion for making a small donation to the cause, and I'd encourage people to look for the website for the Oregon Vietnam Memorial if they want to learn more. One other thing, you know, we are about to celebrate next month the second anniversary of Lincoln County becoming a Stepping Up County, the part of the national initiative to try to reduce the number of people with mental illness in our jail. And in addition to pushing that work at the local level, I've also been trying very hard to win allies in Salem among state agency people and legislators. And I think that is starting to pay off. I received a verbal request on Monday. The governor is going to be appointing a mental health justice reinvestment task force, and I have been asked to serve on that task force. And you know, where is it going to lead at this point? I don't know, but 6 years ago, the Justice Reinvestment Program didn't exist, and now it is pushing $43 million a year into Oregon counties for jail diversion programs. I mean, here locally, that's where we fund the TAPS, transitional housing, operated by our parole and probation program. So I hope that this could be the start of something big and concrete like that.
Okay. Very good. Commissioner Thompson.
The debating would have said anything, but I will.
Okay.
Please do. I support the Vietnam Memorial, mm-hmm. but I'm the age that lost all the friends.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have friends back. Memorials work. The memorials bother me. When I walk down the Newport waterfront, it's mm-hmm. a memorial of all the people that died. Not all the people that were injured, not all the people that lived successfully in the fishing industry. The same thing's true in Vietnam. There was a lot of people died of a lot of other things that paid Agent Orange, all these other mm-hmm. things. They're not going to be on the wall.
There is, though, going to be a panel. I think you've got a very valid point, Commissioner Thompson, and somebody already has asked me about this, but there is going to be a specific panel explaining Agent Orange and also acknowledging the fact that so many men and women have died from its toxic after effects in the years since. So, but you've got a good point there.
All right, I'll make a couple of reports. First of all, believe it or not, the Maritime Task Force that was approved by the legislature last year, last summer, met for the first time, and I was elected chair. It's an honor. It represents about 14 representatives from private sector, public sector.
Okay.
The also on the committee are Senators Roblin and Johnson, as well as Representatives Gomberg and Brock Smith. Brock Smith from the South Coast. So we had our first meeting and are finally moving forward on identifying the value of the maritime industry to the state of Oregon and developing programs to help people be able to access the good paying jobs that are represented in that industry. And again, hats off to Commissioner Thompson, who first raised this issue, and I appreciate his support and my efforts as we work together to move it forward. So that was good news. Also, I don't normally talk about events that are more of a social nature, but this Saturday, past Saturday, I did attend the fundraiser for the for John Reed, who was is the retired director of our Veterans Department. He was the director there. Strong focus on the veteran suicide issues. This is Suicide Awareness Month, and it was. It was nice to be able to report that as we recognize the tremendous sacrifices that the vets have made to our country, we're also working with various departments, the state, Samaritan Health, as well as our own behavioral health department, to develop better mental health services in our county, which will not only help individuals that are dealing with mental health, but to also be able to help the vets and the many issues that they're dealing with. So
Mr.
that
Chair.
Was a positive event. Yes?
Just a small clarification, if I could.
Sure.
Wasn't actually a fundraiser for John Reed as an individual, but for the new foundation that's
Correct.
Been named in his honor. And kudos to our team at the Veterans Services Office for getting this foundation going, essentially. And this was the first significant fundraiser for it. Essentially, the hope is to generate, you know, there's a lot of passion for helping veterans, and that this would be a mechanism for us to generate private funding beyond the significant amount of local and state money that go into operating our Veterans Service Office now. And I think it's a lot of potential. I don't know of any other county in Oregon that has done this. So once again, I believe we're kind of leading the way, but I think it's a wonderful concept.
You're absolutely right. It was for the foundation that recognizes John's
Yes.
contribution to the county.
Yes.
Any other commissioner reports? All right, move on to constituent input. This is an opportunity for anyone to address the Board of Commissioners. on any item of interest to them. We ask you to limit your comments to no more than 5 minutes, and Board of Commissioners may or may not respond. I see no one coming forward, so we will move on. Our next meeting of the Board of Commissioners will be Wednesday, September 19th, 9:30 a.m. here in the Board of Commissioners, Room 108. Until that time, we are adjourned.